empty piece with the Mishnah in Aulos, which we saw yesterday in the Gemara in Chulin. Remember, we saw the last thing we saw, one of the last things we saw was the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Chaf Aleph from an Aleph, which cites the Mishnah in Aulos. Okay, and this is in Rav Leich Shlita has it in Hebrew as well as in English. I brought you both, but I figured for you it would be easier to get the we see the English, and plus the Hebrew, which is in his Hebrew Vayim Bin Sivo Salacha Chela Gimel, I don't think is I can show it to you on the screen so fast. So, right? I don't think we can do that. So we'll just... I also have with me a sefer called Kviyas Rega Hamavis. This is a great leaklet of many different points of view. Many are quoted in here. Rabbi Bleich is not, for whatever reason. Well, he's quoted secondarily by others who come to criticize him. And Rabbi Bleich is not afraid to respond to criticism. Baruch Hashem. He's used to it. So this is a book of over almost 400 pages, which has many points of view, which we'll be using this book extensively as well. But I felt to give you an overview and a particular opinion, which not only is Rabbi Black's opinion, but it's fundamentally the same, although he's much more elaborate, as Rav Shechter, Shlita. Rav Shechter wrote about it in Be'ikvei Hatzon, Simon Lamed Vav, which you can also look at over the weekend if you have time. They come to similar conclusions, as we shall see. Okay, so Rav Black speaks about the neurological definition of death. You know, there are three systems we're talking about over here. There is the cardiac system, which is the heart. Then there's the pulmonary system, which is the lungs. And it's what's called the neurological system, which is primarily the brain. Okay? So we had this Mishnah, which we saw yesterday. It's in Olos Aleph Vav, but it's also, as we spoke, found in Chulin Chaf Aleph from an Aleph. If your heads have been severed, it's considered to be in the Vela. Even if they move convulsively, like the tail of a lizard, that twitches spasmodically, even after being severed from the body. It's a garnished. Okay, so here's the argument, which is a very interesting argument. Rabbi Bleich Shlita is willing to accept in theory, I repeat, in theory, destruction of tissue as a result of liquefaction, it may be argued, is tantamount to severance or excision of such tissue. Consequently, there is indeed a measure of cogency in the argument that total liquefaction of brain tissue is tantamount to physiological decapitation. So far, so good. If it's true. Decapitation, however, involves physical severance of the entire brain from the body. Physiological decapitation, then, must also be defined as physiological destruction of the entire brain. That phenomenon has simply never been observed. To be sure, autopsies performed on patients pronounced dead on the basis of neurological criteria reveal that the brain has become a spongy, liquidy mass. In colloquial medical parlance, this phenomenon is categorized as respirator brain, because the condition is found in patients sustained on the respirator for a lengthy period of time as the result of lysis or liquefaction of the brain. However, total lysis apparently does not occur in such patients. Only a portion of the brain turns to liquid. It is indeed the case that tissue degeneration resulting in lysis is progressive in nature, and consequently it might be assumed that at some point the entire brain will liquefy. Nevertheless, that phenomenon is not present at the time, quote, brain death criteria become manifest. There is no diagnostic method for determining when total lysis has occurred, nor has total lysis ever been observed upon autopsy. We don't know why not. Although the neurological causes are obscure, there is strong reason to believe that cardiac activity ceases long before total lysis could possibly occur. Systemic death, including cardiac arrest, virtually always follows no later. We'll get to this later on. This is written 1989, remember this. No later than 2 to 10 days subsequent to manifestation of brain death criteria. Virtually. Keep the word virtually in mind. This is what is describing facts in 1989, in the spring. So it's how many years ago now? Also in the spring. So we're now in 2016. This is written, what, 27 years ago.
Now it could be years.
But we'll get to that. For reasons not fully understood by medical science, life as conventionally defined cannot long continue after brain function has been so seriously compromised. And you will see, this is old information. Thus, brain death, although not synonymous with death itself, is a harbinger of impending death. Again, times have changed, as I will demonstrate to you. But I'm trying to be systematic and go chronologically. The foregoing description, let's go a little bit slowly. Okay? The foregoing description of the physical state of the brain at the time of brain death is freely conceded by medical advocates of adoption of brain death criteria. They admit that. Research scientists who support acceptance of neurological criteria for pronouncement of death argue not that those neurological criteria establish that brain tissue has been destroyed. No, they don't say that. But that those criteria serve to establish that the brain has ceased to function, and hence, although physically the brain remains intact, irreversible lack of functionality should be equated with excision or death of that organ. Thus, it is not physical destruction of the brain, but the physiological dysfunction of the organ that is equated with decapitation, in these people's opinion. For halachic purpose, dysfunction of an organ is not the equivalent of its destruction or excision. And he gives an example from Cyrus. If Chalila Vachas is the male organs have been removed, right, the beitzim, then he is usher. The sukkah talk about a psua daka. But if they're intact, but if it rendered dysfunctional, suffers no such liability. You know that. Similarly, an animal whose liver has been removed is a trefa. Meat is forbidden. The meat of an animal's liver is physiological function is permissible. Excision is defined as removal either as a result of trauma or surgical procedure.
Yeah, but the liver becomes so small. You see a shrunken liver.
Okay, but it's still there. Alternatively, is defined, this is where the marmacomas, you have the marmacomas on your...
Yeah.
You have it, right? You probably wonder what the first marmacomas were about. It's this. It's defined as degeneration of tissue, either through necrosis to the degree that it becomes either tissue which crumbles in the finger, basar shenifrach bitziporet, that's the first marmokum in the Gemara Nechulin that he has to see, or through decay to the degree that it becomes tissue which a physician scrapes away, basar shearofe gororo, e.g., gangrenous tissue. The brain tissue of a patient pronounced dead on the basis of neurological criteria does not match or even approximate these levels of degeneration. So therefore, in theory, Rav Bleich Shalit is willing to accept that if the brain were totally liquefied or totally nifrech with tziporim, we could consider it potentially to be a definition of death. But in point of fact, it's not that way. I'm jumping ahead, even though Rabbi Black's facts have been changed somewhat, and people can live much longer. He footnotes copiously everything. I don't want to go back and forth with his footnotes. Maybe at the end we'll show the footnotes. In those days when he was writing it, the average survival rate for brain death was 2 to 3 days. The most within 2 weeks. There was one case that kept a woman alive for 63 days so she could deliver a baby. They took her out, the baby out 31 weeks and the baby survived. That was the most they had on record then was 63 days. That is dated information. Things have changed. We shall see soon. There's even a case now which is a recent court case. Something is new in this brain death controversy based on a situation in California, moved to New Jersey, a whole thing which happened the last couple of years. We'll get to all this as we go. We'll try and go slow. Moreover, as a rejection of currently accepted criteria of brain death, the foregoing is superfluous, indeed a form of overkill. It's a bit of a pun, no? It's like killing. Currently accepted neurological criteria of death singly or in combination demonstrate only that the specific neurological activities have ceased. For example, absence of elicitable reflexes confirms just that phenomenon and nothing more. Absence of reflex activity does not demonstrate that all electric activity has ceased. Even a flat EEG, which is not regarded as absolute requirement for establishing brain death, demonstrates only the absence of elicitable brain waves. It does not rule out the possible presence of electrical activity below the sensitivity threshold of the apparatus. A British physician has candidly stated that, quote, in the usual clinical context of brain death, there is no certain way of ascertaining other than by angiographic inference. What that means? Blood. Assuming there's no blood in the brain. That the major areas of the brain, such as the cerebellum, the basal ganglia, or the thalami, have irreversibly ceased to function. Can't tell. Other medical researchers report that hypothalamic pituitary function is maintained after the diagnosis of brain stem death, which you'll see this has become critical. The hypothalamus is a part of the brain which controls body temperature and a little bit of blood pressure perhaps as well, and that we know for an absolute fact continues after the person is brain dead. That's exactly why the person continues to live. If the person wouldn't continue to live, if the hypothalamus would stop working, the person would die. So it's a tata disaster. Whatever. I don't want to get involved in my own personal involvement in this controversy at the present time. I was involved somehow or other.
This is the Khartoum and the Mitzrayim. They couldn't deal with small things.
Okay.
The smaller you get, the levels of measurement.
Right. You're right. I was involved in the early 90s. This is written in 89. So a little bit later, I was involved in this parsha. About a year later, for reasons which were not of my choice, I had to get involved. I'll tell you later as we go. Brain death criteria do not suffice for the diagnosis of permanent and irreversible cessation of all function of the brainstem. But most significantly, total neurological dysfunction is entirely compatible with continued cellular metabolism. As metabolism has ceased, the tissue perforce remains alive. So there's live tissue in the brain. Everybody says you can't help it. Theoretically, blood flow studies and radioisotope scanning might be employed to show that perfusion of the brain has ceased, that means blood. Cellular delay of the neural tissue of the brain does indeed commence upon cessation of blood flow. That is murder. Nevertheless, such techniques are inadequate for determining death in a manner consistent with halakhic requirements for a number of reasons. Everybody starts going, what are the reasons? One, although cellular decay of the brain does commence upon cessation of circulation of the blood, an indeterminate period of time is required for decay of the brain to become complete. Cessation of the flow of blood to the brain cannot in itself be equated with total cellular destruction of the brain. At present, there is no scientific method that serves to establish how much time must elapse following the cessation of perfusion for total cellular decay to result. P.S. is all baloney because the blood does go to the brain. It's all theoretical again. If you could do an angiogram and prove that there's no blood in the brain, it wouldn't help. But it's not true.
The brain also does triage. It allows portions to die.
Correct. Moreover, as earlier indicated, it's entirely likely that physiologic cardiac activity must cease well before this phenomenon could possibly occur. Correct. Two, these techniques in the current state of refinement simply do not demonstrate that even perfusion of the brain has totally ceased. As I told you, there is blood. Investigators responsible for the development of these techniques claim only that such methods may be used to indicate cessation of circulation of the cerebrum, which is the seat of the so-called higher functions of the human organism. They are careful to describe the phenomena which they report as cerebral death rather than as brain death. They are very careful, because in their minds, if you can't think, you're dead. We'll see later that there's a source for this even in halacha. Despite my black of any possibility, we shall get to it. These phenomena are entirely compatible with some degree of continued circulation and perfusion of the medulla and the brainstem. In fact, in the original studies, radioisotope techniques did not demonstrate total cessation of circulation to the cerebrum, but only that affected circulation had decreased below the level necessary to retain its integrity. That we all agree. The scanning methods employed in these studies did not indicate that all circulation even to part of the brain, the cerebrum, had been interrupted, but only that the rate of flow is below that necessary to maintain functional integrity. Thus, in the summary of findings which form part of one such studies, these techniques are described as indicative of significant circulatory deficit to the cerebrum, not total cutting off. Those studies indicate the presence up to approximately 24% of normal predicated blood. It's a typo, no? Blood flow? Did I just find a typo? Correct?
Blood flow. Yeah.
Blood flow.
Yeah.
Now I have the book in my house. I wonder if they corrected it in the when they put it out in the book. I found out that often typos get into 5 different editions. I see them articles. I see typo made 1, 2, 3. Takes them forever until they find the mistake. I don't know. Maybe there's a proofreader who is an eagle eye. I don't know. Remind me, they're 15.
It means even worse, it's compounded by order correct. So sometimes you act it, you think right.
Okay. More recently, another researcher has claimed that the isotope angiography, which he employed, is capable of showing termination of cardioid circulation at the base of the skull, but at the same time, he frankly concedes that posterior circulation may continue with the result that persistent perfusion and survival of the brainstem remain a distinct possibility. Whoa, even the brainstem. Another study involving a small number of pediatric patients utilized both the isotope bolus technique and pseudoangiography, and somewhat surprising, demonstrated persistent EEG activity despite negative blood flow studies. The authors of that study candidly acknowledged that some circulation, either supplied by the external cardioid system or in the form of limited cerebral perfusion, must have been present, albeit undetected by blood flow studies.
The limited cerebral perfusion, the brain itself, what it does is, as part of its triage, all of the cerebral, which is not necessary for the body to
survive.
Just continue survival at a minimal level, they allow that to die and they husband the oxygen.
Correct, exactly. Yet another recent study reports that spontaneous respiration, that means you're breathing on your own, which is can't be brain dead, was observed in 2 patients in whom cerebral blood flow studies demonstrated no cerebral perfusion. Avada. That finding is truly remarkable. I don't see why. Why? Cerebral perfusion means only cerebral. And demonstrates the inherent compatibility of negative blood flow studies with even the classic indicator of life, which is spontaneous respiration. Again, I assume I have to look at what he means. If he means to the brain stem, then it's a Peloton. If he means to the cerebrum, which is a different part of the brain, I don't see why it's that much of a chiddush. Moreover, it must be emphasized that blood flow studies are neither a legal requirement for pronouncing a patient dead on basic neurological standards, nor are they routinely performed as a matter of medical practice. The mice said they don't do it. We'll see later. The rabbanut required it, and even then they didn't do it. Even after they went against the law, we'll see. Doctors are going against the law, both in this country and the state of Israel.
I saw it with my own eyes.
Well, hold on. Other neurological criteria are even less satisfactory than blood flow tests as a lack of criteria for establishing the set of decay of the brain has occurred. Those criteria serve to establish only irreversible cessation of neurological function in the lower region of the brain. They do not constitute evidence that even a portion of the brain has been destroyed. All those alibis can at most be cited only to substantiate an argument that destruction of the entire brain is tantamount to death. Since radioisotope scanning techniques, even if employed, do not show termination of blood flow to the brain stem, any discussion of the validity of brain death in Jewish law is rendered entirely theoretical by virtue of the fact that at present the requisite criteria demanded by the advocates of that position are simply not demonstrable in the clinical setting. Boom. Number 3, the performance of radioisotope scanning is of no therapeutic benefit to the patient. In light of the halachic prohibition against moving even the limb of a gosis, lest the patient's death be hastened thereby, it would be difficult, to say the least, to perform procedures upon a moribund patient without violating applicable halachic strictures. The identical objection applies at least some, if not most, of the various other neurological diagnostic or procedures employed in the pronouncing brain death. Period. Adkan. 3 reasons why this theoretical possibility based on Olus, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, simply doesn't cut it. So, again, it's been a theoretical concession by Rav Blai Shalita, but a factual, complete rejection based on many reasons for this, for advocating this as a proper definition. Right. The term brain death carries with a certain emotional cachet and appeal. In fact, brain death is a misnomer. Brain death criteria establish irreversible neurological dysfunction, not cessation of metabolic functions. Brain death, when confirmed by blood flow studies, represents the onset of metabolic dysfunction, not necessarily death of the neural tissue. Brain death, even when supported by blood flow studies, represents confirmed metabolic dysfunction of only a portion of the brain, not of the brain in its entirety. Brain death criteria are not designed, properly speaking, to serve as clinical criteria of death, but as proposed criteria for withholding further treatment and for withdrawing life support systems. That's true. This is recognized and acknowledged by the physicians who are sensitive to the ethical issues contingent upon this distinction. And they correctly urge that a term such as mortal brain damage be substituted for brain stem death. This is not new. Comes to Harvard, I told you, 1968, the Harvard criteria were established. What did the chairman say? We tried to find a reversible coma. We felt we cannot define death. I suppose you will say, by implication, we have defined it as brain death, but we do not make a point of that. Because how can you say it's dead? But the term caught on like wildfire. It was originally established, I think, in 1959. And after 68, when Harvard, it became a word that's now became law in, I think, every state of the union. Okay? And interesting, the criteria of brain death were published under a title, A Definition of Irreversible Coma. How do you like that? They didn't call it brain death. That was in the small print, but they couldn't, as legitimate scientists, they couldn't entitle it that, because it's not true. Okay, maybe. They use brain stem death as distinctive of a hopeless outcome for the patient, right? That's true. And recommend the utilization of such criteria for the purpose of removing the patient from respirator in order to allow the patient to die. Not that he's dead already. Let him die. It's a whole different story. That's a more accurate description of the facts. Only in 1979, 3 years later, did that body declare that brain stem death may be equated with the death of the person. That's 11 years after.
Because you're dealing with a completely different system of medicine.
Of course, it's in England. Right.
In England, it's that they actually believe that the old people should
do. That's true. Help. And look what he writes. Oh, he quotes a Dr. Hill in 1987, years later. The motives for this change in England are ethically questionable. As is the logic upon which it is based. No, what does that mean? The assumption that all functions of the brain have permanently and irreversibly ceased. This statement is, to say the least, doubtful. It's not by a rabbi. It's by a doctor in England in 1987.
Because they ration healthcare, so they have criteria to get served.
Now, medical scientists employ the term brain, even though it's a misnomer, because it is a term layman can comprehend as denoting a physiological state in which any further treatment is not only contraindicated, but will be regarded as ludicrous. Introduction to the term brain death is a thinly veiled attempt to justify withholding of treatment under the guise of redefinition of terms. The purpose of this lexicographical exercise is to secure moral and emotional approbation for a policy that would otherwise be greeted with repugnance and even indignation. Withholding of treatment has the effect of snuffing out human life. Any ad hoc decision to withhold treatment from a dying relative involves a great deal of soul-searching and frequently engenders feelings of guilt. On the other hand, no one advocates medical treatment or contingent of life support for a corpse. Pronouncing a person dead has the emotional effect of removing any aura of further moral responsibility. In a less than fully informed world, semantic sleight of hand may affect popular perception, but it should not be permitted to affect the universe of moral discourse.
He could have been stronger here. Only a legal issue, it has nothing to do with medical. And
certainly halacha. So-called brain death criteria we have no base in halacha, both because the clinical conditions ostensibly posited by employment of the term do not exist, and because even were those conditions to exist, they would not satisfy the halachic criteria of death. In response to a question concerning one of the ramifications of employment of brain death criteria, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik has aptly and accurately stated, in order to answer this question, I have to have recourse to my imagination. Without recourse to imagination, it is impossible for me to assume, even for a moment, for argument's sake, that the Harvard criteria confirm to the halacha. Wow.
It's a good lawyer.
I read Rabbi Aaron. Rabbi Aaron has a law degree.
Yes.
Rabbi Bleich has a philosophy degree, even though he writes much more like a lawyer, but his degree is in philosophy. Okay, Shai. Fine. Now, Chief Rabbinate of Israel endorse liver transplants. Okay? Brandeis standard. Chief Rabbi of Council pondered for a few months. Okay? On one cheshvan, 5747, listen carefully, after the liver transplant had already been performed, I'm not sure what's happening over here. I don't know if this is accurate, because the fall of 87 is likely cheshvan of 5748. Double check with Rabbi Bleich. You know what I'm saying? People assume, you know, it just so happens that the calendars are equivalent. This is 2016, Tavshin Ayin Vav, the same last digit. That's only true after January 1st. But from Rosh Hashanah until then, it's off by years. That's where the many errors come as a result of that. I just wonder if this is one of them. I don't know for sure. I don't have it here in front of me. Okay? So maybe it was before, not after. That's what I'm pointing out. Announces the endorsement of so-called brain death criteria, but stipulate a number of conditions to be followed in pronouncement of death and removal of the organs. By the way, the fight between Rabbi Schechter, Shlita, and Rabbi Eliezer Shapiro, Zichron Levracha, about two pulling out the plug, I found nowhere. I don't know where Rabbi Shapiro got it from. I looked at all the chief rabbinate statements, and nowhere did I see about two people pulling out the plug. So this whole argument, maybe something which is based on something which never existed. I don't know. Okay, if you find it.
It's our Gemara. It's saying basically, if they're killing him, they might as well not be Chayimisa.
True, but apparently, but that's not, although Rav Shapiro put that forth in his argument, Rav Shechter, it's not anywhere in the written record that I could find. It's a little strange. Okay. He tells you who opposed, they printed it. Okay? Who opposed it publicly? Rav Shach, Dayan Weiss from Minchas Yitzchak, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He's a member of the rabbinate. He's the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He's deposing his own chief rabbi, which met in his own city. Interesting. Rabbi Waldenberg, who was also a member of the Rabbanut for many, many years, living in Yerushalayim, opposed it too. Who else? From Mr. Karelitz, Rabbi Vosner, Rabbi Gestetner. That's already a list of how many? One, two, six or seven Choshev Rabbanim publicly opposed Brandeis. Okay. There's a further letter in Tchum, dated a later date, which was published in Or HaMizrach in Tishrei 5748. I have that in here. I believe it's in here, that letter. That letter is a Pel Otzen. We'll get to it later. We'll go slowly. Then, Dr. Steinberg was also published in Or HaMizrach. Dr. Steinberg is a big Talmud Chacham. He's a MD, most of his career has been in medicine. However, he wrote a beautiful encyclopedia called Encyclopedia Hilchatit Rifuit, which I have in its 6 volumes. They now put it out in 7 volumes. I'm not going to buy a new one. I already have 6 volumes. That's, they keep doing that to me. I can't afford to buy a new one every time they put up a new one. But I have it. It's worthwhile buying. It was even translated into English, I believe, by Dr. Fred Rosner, if I'm not mistaken. It's in 3 beautiful English volumes. It's a very worthwhile thing to have. Dr. Steinberg has now assumed an amazing responsibility. Since he was so good in encyclopedias, he was appointed as the mankal of the Encyclopedia Talmudit.
Oh, wow.
Nothing to do with medicine.
Yeah.
On the condition that he raise money to put it out more quickly. You know, that thing started in 1940, in the early 40s. And we hope our grandchildren will get to it at the end of it. He did take over. He's raised money. He came to Riverdale. He spent Shabbos. He stayed in my house with his Rebbetzin. His Rebbetzin is a Choshava woman whose father was a rabbi in Massachusetts. Very wonderful woman. They stayed in my house together. We had a Friday night tish in my house. Gvirim came to give him a few dollars. He's even a good chasm. He's down for the omen. Beautifully. He's a very multi-talented man, this man. And he was very, very much involved in the brain death controversy. We will see. He even came to yeshiva once to show Rav Schechter and myself a certain video. Probably can still get, which is relevant to the discussion, but we'll get to it as we go. I'm just giving you some prominent attraction. This is a fascinating discussion. Amazing. And I love Dr. Steinberg. He's been helpful to me, even personally, in certain medical matters. In this matter, we'll see that we don't see eye to eye in certain things, but it doesn't matter. You have to have great respect for great people. Fine. It's not brain death as such. It's important to understand, people confuse the terms. Rabbi Bleich is not one to confuse terms. What do they say there? A person whose independent respiration has manifestly ceased and is no anticipation whatsoever for its return. And there's no life, nor is there a criterion of life. It's clear. It's clear. Death is determined by cessation of respiration and not by destruction of the brain. Destruction of the brain demonstrates that there is no independent respiration. Fascinatingly, quotes Dr. Steinberg, it all depends upon lack of respiration. But since there are many situations it's possible to restore normal respiration, it is necessary to support the determination of the stages with proof that respiration is needed to cease forever. This can be accomplished by means of demonstration of destruction of the brainstem. Meiridik. He's not going with the first Sif Aleph. Sif Aleph said brain death is brain death. The fact that the brain died, if it's true, would mean death. And Rabbi Bleich is willing to concede that in theory, but not in practice, because it's just not true.
If you accept this principle, then Mamanusha, remove the respirator. If he breathes, he breathes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Because this would suggest he's already dead.
They claim, exactly, that's exactly what they claim. They claim that once you stop breathing, and you can never restore the breathing, and that can be determined by brainstem death, then he's dead. That's exactly what we saw yesterday. The Poshup shot, I concede. It's the Poshup shot in the Gemara, and you would have Peheim and Aleph, where the Gemara says you check the nose. You check the nose, there's no need to check the heart. So they will argue, for all we know, the heart's beating, and the guy's dead because he's not breathing. That's the argument. We're not for Rashi. It would be hard to argue with this. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Fine. Good. Very nice. Good. Dr. Steinberg entirely negates the opinion that brain death is itself an intrinsic criterion of death. Those who erroneously maintain that brain death constitutes a valid definition of death according to Jewish law require bloodful studies. This is dismissed by Dr. Steinberg as superfluous. It's irrelevant. It's irreversible cessation of spontaneous respiratory activity is a determining factor. That's it. Adkan. Adkan. Then, he's right. He's right. Now, look. Nothing is error-proof. Maseches Smachos. Unbelievable. When the interment was carried out in the hollow crypt in the side of a mountain, it was customary to visit the burial site intermittently for a period of days, lest perchance some sign of life might be evident. Do you believe it? They found a person to be alive, and he survived for 25 years. Huh? Okay.
But we know people who
hold on.
Have drowned.
Hold on.
And are not breathing.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay, hold on. So Chasam Sofer, this is going to be one of the most important sources in this whole discussion. Chasam Sofer, Yerodea, Shin Lamed Ches. If you have time over Shabbos, you want to look it up. I did not put on the Maamar Komus. This is a long tshuva. I always try to keep tshuvas off, except for Rav Moshe. That's the one exception, right? Except for Rav Moshe, I don't have any tshuvas this year, right? Rav Moshe is an exception. Go to Lador of our door in our place. He makes the Maamar Komus sheet officially. The others only make it unofficially. If you want to have a look at this tshuva, it's fascinating. We will be bringing it in many times. Once in 1,000 years. By the way, this is very important. I saw that one of the Rabbanim had written that the Chasam Sofer said that something happens once, Echa Min Yelef doesn't rise to the level of Pikuach Nefesh. That is not quite the case. Chasam Sofer said, if it happens once in 1,000 years, it's not Pikuach Nefesh. But let's say if I have a 1 in 1,000 chance of saving somebody, you would have to go to the hospital on Shabbos. But the 1 in 1,000 was a little bit misleading. 1 in 1,000 years, keep that in mind. Okay? Cessation of respiration, Chasam Sofer says, must be determined by experts. It's not only permissible, but obligatory to rely upon such expert determination in order not to delay burial of the deceased. You know what this tshuva is about? You know what the tshuva, anyone know the history over here? No one knows the history. There was a certain duke in a Austro-Hungarian empire who demanded that you wait 3 days after death before burials. Moses Mendelssohn, the famous Jewish scholar, said, yeah, it's a good idea. And he quoted Maseches Smachos. I could be alive. Wait 3 days. Chasam Sova comes out with all barrels blazing against Chacham Mendelssohn. He was not a fan of Mendelssohn. Either he or others said in those days, Besifre Ramad Al Tishlechu Yad. Ramad was Rav Moshe Dessauer. That's how he was known in the rabbinic circles. But don't look at his books. Fascinatingly, there were some great rabbis who did look at his books. He put out a statement on Chumash called the Beer, the explanation, I think it was in German, if I'm not mistaken, which is brilliant. And the people who actually looked at it, others said, don't look at it, because he's no good. His ideas are suspect. Whether he was or was not, he was clearly a practicing Jew. No one denies that. Unfortunately, his children were not. I think, if I'm not mistaken, his grandchild intermarried. I think the whole family is now going. So, Gedolei Hador saw past.
You didn't choose wisely in second marriage.
I don't know anything about his personal life. I'm just telling them. Just an example. That's the basis of Chasam Sofer's Shuv. To be sure, when there's cogent medical possibility that respiratory arrest is reversible, CPR, near absence of respiration, cannot be assumed to be dispositive. Otherwise, no further confirmatory indicators are required. In many clinical situations, brain and bacteria are no more necessary to determine that respiratory activity has reversibly ceased than the blood flow studies. There are many end-stage illnesses in which an absolute determination that spontaneous respiration has reversibly ceased can be made without benefit of neurological confirmation of death in the brainstem. The best examples of such medical conditions are Lou Gehrig's disease, known as ALS, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, and something else, anencephalus in newborns. The position that irreversible cessation of respiration is the sole determining fact in the pronouncement of death leads to a conclusion that would be dismissed by everyone as absurd. Polio, fortunately, is not the scourge that it was some years ago. But the memories of polio victims that were forced to live in iron lung machines for their survival are very vivid. I have it in my house. My sister, she should be well, was a victim of the very last polio epidemic in the summer of 1955. It's such a tragedy because the Salk vaccine was already around, which prevented polio, but it wasn't distributed yet. Believe me, had it been distributed, my whole life would be different. My sister's life would be a million times different. She succumbed, and her life was very tenuous in the summer of 55. Mamish. It took her to breathe in an iron lung, and I went to visit her. You know what an iron lung is? Long before they had respirators. A humongous thing. You went into this cavity, and the iron lung was pumping air in and out. Baruch Hashem, she got off the iron lung. Now she, thank God, doesn't need any iron lung, although her respiration is compromised. And although for many decades she had needed no help in respiration, she now is part of a small group of polio survivors. She was 3 years old when she succumbed in 1955. And there are some, so the doctors, they don't deal with that anymore because Baruch Hashem, since the Salk vaccine, no one has it anymore. But people her age and older, there aren't millions, but there are, I would say, tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands across America who are still alive and had it. And now when they get older, their breathing becomes more compromised. So now my sister has to have some assistance in her breathing. And here's an irony of ironies, I'm talking on a personal level, that my niece, my sister's daughter, who when she moved this past fall, of all cities in the entire America to move to, she chose her husband's hometown city, which is Denver, Colorado. You know what that means. So my sister asked her doctors, can I go to Denver, Colorado? And they said yes. They all said yes, but the answer was no. She had to come back in respiratory distress. She had her breathing machines with her. I had to call in an Arab Shabbos emergency for doctors who are in Denver who know about this to go visit her. Mamish, we were scared for her life, Chas v'Shalom. Wow. You know about Denver, it's Mile High Stadium, there's less air, less oxygen up there. Shem Yerach.
Wow.
All cities, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a position there. There's so many cities in this country. That's the only one of any size that has any problem. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his ways. Now she's already contemplating the next time she visits to meet him under the on the bottom of the mountain, you know, somewhere where it's lower. Shem Yirach. So I'm very familiar with, I have it in my head. It's not an image which I could ever forget.
They got a nice place, Colorado Springs.
I'm not sure how high that is. That's low?
Lower.
Lower is no good. I want sea level. New York. She lives in Woodmere. That's mamish sea level on the ocean. That's a good place for her to live. If respiratory activity is regarded as the sole determining criterion of the presence of life, it would follow that a polio victim was entirely dependent upon an iron lung machine or a similar device in order to live would be regarded as dead, despite the fact that such an individual is fully conscious and is indeed capable of engaging in intellectual activities requiring a high degree of cognition. Ridiculous. Can't be assumed. Even if the polio the victim's loss of respiratory activity cannot be positively diagnosed as irreversible, that's the response. Dr. Steinberg says, maybe it's not irreversible. Even so, were respiratory activity to be accepted as the sole indicator of life, his subsequent demise would retroactively establish that death actually occurred upon loss of spontaneous respiration. Yahrzeit is 20 years before. The response, as might be anticipated, is that irreversible cessation of respiration is designed to be applied as the determining criterion of death only in cases in which the patient is no longer conscious. Okay, that makes sense. The problem, however, is not resolved thereby. Nowhere, and we'll get to it later, I don't think this is necessarily correct, the case. Rabbi Leib says it's the case. Nowhere in rabbinic literature is there the slightest hint that consciousness is an indicator of life or that its absence is an indication of that death has occurred. Again, we're holding our fire on this one. Moreover, even if that caveat is accepted, this position yields the conclusion that any non-sapient patient who has suffered irreversible respiratory arrest is dead, regardless of the presence of other vital signs, including cardiac activity and neurological functions, as evidenced by positive EEG, which is also hard to believe. It therefore becomes necessary to examine the Talmudic sources that serve as a basis for establishing the definition of death, and to examine the criteria that are delineated for use in making that determination. So again, I'm not going to read you Rabbi Black. We're reading so much in the English only because it's so beautifully written, and because everything we said until now is basically new. Nothing we said until now today has been chazar from yesterday. Am I right, Nathan? Come out, nothing. All new stuff. New facts, new sources. But this is already, I'm going to skip it because we spoke about it yesterday in Shir. Yuma Peheyam Adav. Okay. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch, on the Maramakomas, that Chotmo, it might be concluded that respiration is indeed the sole determining factor, and therefore irreversible cessation of respiration is both a necessary and sufficient criterion of death. In other words, you take the Gemara, I told you this yesterday already, you would pay a kipshuto, then this position could be considered correct. And as we shall explain, without full disclosure, there are many great rabbis, including great rabbis Shlita, living, breathing, Gedolei Torah. I can tell you, I think there are three of them who I consider to be great rabbis, and I don't give that title easily, who in fact maintain this position, to Rabbi Black's consternation. What they're going to do with his rise from Rashi, they'll either say we don't follow Rashi, or there's some other way to get out of the Rashi, I don't know. But I want to say right now, Rabbi Black says he agrees that if it's true, Brandeth might be death, he thinks it's completely false. Okay, why is it completely false? And so now, as attractive as it may be, it's against Rashi. We saw this yesterday. I think he's 100% right. Rashi says, what does it mean? That he gives an English translation. Right? He does not move his limbs. The word is aver. It took me a while. I thought he said ever. Okay, what's ever? It's in aver, italics. No organ can move. Therefore, I think Rabbi Black is correct over here. Those others disagree. Ongoing cardiac activity is in and of itself an absolute criterion of life, even if in patients incapable of spontaneous respiration. The heart is beating normally. It's a normally naturally beating heart. That itself is movement. Moreover, Rashi says that what? Why is it that we check the nose and not the heart? Rashi explained, we saw this yesterday. At times, life is not recognizable at the heart, but it's recognizable at the nose. What's he saying? A faint pulse you can't detect. They didn't have stethoscopes. They didn't have all kinds of, what do you call it, blood pressure measurements. They had nothing. Just you put your, there's a famous story. Guy, sir, there's no pulse. You must be dead. The guy said, what do you mean I'm dead? The guy, he could, the pulse was too weak. He couldn't find it. That's the Vard, Rav Ossai. That's the Vard. Oh. Oh. So what does Rashi say that it's enough to libo? What does Rashi explain? For it's there that the soul beats. It was yesterday's shir. It means the neshama is measured, according to Rashi, in the heart. The crucial thing of life is the presence of a heartbeat. Rashi does not suggest that the opposing view rejects its fundamental verity. The opposing view rejects the reliance upon examination of the heart, asserts Rashi, only because of the possible error in diagnosing the absence of a heartbeat. Rashi has clearly understood that both opinions recognize cardiac activity as the primary indicator of the presence of life. Rashi's analysis leads inevitably to the finding that if for whatever reason cardiac activity persists and respiration ceased, the patient must be regarded as yet alive. Who said so? Chacham Tzvi.
You also have the Gemara, the Ubar, where it's breathing, the mother is in effect breathing.
Right.
It's the same. It really comes down to it's one circulatory system.
Right.
And because it's one system, the point of access, whether it's the nose or the belly button,
right,
it's the same concept.
100%. What did Chacham Tzvi say? Klar. If life is not evident at the nose, but is evident at the heart, the presence of cardiac activity is itself sufficient to negate any other presumptive evidence of death. Befurish, black on white. Chacham Tzvi. Maybe it's worthwhile looking at the Chacham Tzvi. We spent a lot of time reading English. We haven't read any Hebrew today. So let's remember, we finished page 56. I don't know how many pages left to go. Do you know what where it goes here? Where does it go?
It's up until...
See, in this, it starts what, from what to what pages does this article go?
It goes up until, in terms of actual text, it goes up to page 60. Afterwards, it's notes.
Oh, we're almost done.
Yeah, from 60 to...
Let's do it on Monday. I don't want to read the whole day English. Let's look at the Chacham Tzvi, okay? So let me go off. All right, so Monday you'll have this back for me for the... So we have 60, and so we have only four more pages of text.
Right, and the rest notes.
Okay, we'll see some of the notes. They're also valuable. We covered a large portion of this, which is very important. Let's go now to Bar Ilan. Chacham Tzvi. Here we go. Chacham Tzvi. What happened? Yeah.
Did Rebbe press browse? Oh, it worked. Yeah.
Worked anyway?
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As we see, it's not a short tshuva, but it'll be easy for you to follow it. I have it in here. In the sefer called Kfiyas Rega Hamavis, they quote a number of tshuvas. By the way, I'm very grateful. Who put this out? Was put out in 2007, second edition. Sponsored by Young Israel of Woodmere. Rabbi Billet is the rabbi. And Rabbi Top was also at the time. I mean, Dr. Aaron Glack, assistant rabbi. These are the people that we know and respect. I'm grateful to them for financing this work. I saw Rabbi Billet yesterday. I forgot to thank him. He was here at the Bris. Let's see. Where's the Chacham Tzvi? So what's in here, no? I thought it was here. Maybe it's not here. Shut Chacham Tzvi. Yeah, here it is. Oh, 15 pages. 15 pages in this edition. I can't read the whole thing, obviously. Let's see if I'll be able, with the assistance of this saver, to focus on just a small little part. Oh, man. 15 pages. The problem is that the Chacham Tzvi is relying primarily on Kabbalistic sources, and that's why it's hard to pin down. Yeah. Let me use a little bit. I mean, this is so long. What happened was a person claimed there was no heart in the body. It's quoted a little bit in the Pesachei Tshuva that I asked you to see the Parahete. You'll see it on the Ramachom sheet. And the Chacham Tzvi's point is it's impossible to live without a heart. Can't be. He's like, I finally got a paragraph out of it, out of Bar Ilan. Mayata. Oh, there it is, I found it. It's on page 82. And that's not even halfway through the truth. First, the coming came up for air. Mayata. Oh, Gam. Okay. Gam, Ashakosa. That's page 84. A little bit earlier. Sof Dover. Oh, I find a path that I can. They don't have a period over here. Sof Dover. Divrei has Zohar Pshutim Uberurim. She Yevcha Lechol Eivamisha Beguf Lios Chaim Afil Rega Echod Beli Leiv. Ze Bein Beodom Bein Bechol Balei Chaim Shebeolam. Okay, that's it, finished. Okay, fine. Masha Kosov, someone argued with him. The Sefer Shari Shamayim, the Kalse, Shbisharov Dvorah Bekulotim, the Sefer Nevesh Laramba, Shorash Atnuah Himea Moach, Veloman Aleif. Oh, it all starts in the head, brain death, right? Not cardiac death. He brought a rye, he had a monkey, and they took out the heart, and it moved for 12 hours. So too, their birds take out the heart, and they fly. It took someone's heart out from a bird and it went from bottom to the top for a long time. You see, it all depends upon the brain. Tchila ani omer, shezeh ha-chocham tov ha-mashiro ba-akdomas ha-sefer sh'omar ha-safti mi-sefer ha-nevesh ha-rambam. Lo-hevin, shedvorem elu einem amurum ele b'chochmas holokus v'l'b'chochmas ha-teva v'yodea v'lomen ma'at v'teva yeda sh'arei shemayim v'yazeh yidas Galinus Shari. Shame on Shamirka. What's wrong? We're supposed to be such a bad guy. Aval Aristotelis Shari. Oh, he was a bad guy. Who sova shakol tole beliba. Vidas haram kadaris Aristotle. Kayodua. Uchimavua besefa moresh ano asidim lahat. Lashon bez Hashem is barach. Kos the moron of Uchim. The proof that comes from the heart. Afasova shetnui bevach modu. Shenachiyus tluya lebelev, ki bezelo nechak leodam eolam. Osa tnuo shisno eya hakov yud beishos afiful shel ofos. If emes ito, if it's true, v'gam adilik shel osa of tzilim v'matan. If it's true, einachiyus ela pirchos bialmo. We know about this spasmodic movement. Uvemishnasenu he odam enam atam shetetzin nafsho behem v'chayim atam shetetzin nafsho hutzu Hashem. Afishim afarz and tveim. Zanim Shalata. Shimifar Cheses. And the Rambam writes, Zah Balchayas Noez Nova Ma'od Ma'od Achachaticha on the Mikwas Elektas Mini Balchayka Shalom Yekoch and Mesnev is Fashit Bichlal O'Evor Mishorish Vaskol Achas. This idea of organic movement as opposed to spasmodic movement comes from the Pirush Mishnayos the Rambam. Rambam is describing two kinds of movement, an organic integrated movement on the one hand and a spasm on the other hand. And we shall see later, it's very possible that a brain dead person can have an integrated movement. Possibly not from the brain, it comes from the spine. But still, it can be an integrated movement and not just a spasm, as we shall see. We shall see as we go. Again, one more time. Lo yeakoach ha-mestoeh ha-mespashet b'chalevor mishorosh v'aschol ha-achas, avot tiyeh mesparedes b'chal ha-guf. End quote of the Rambam. Omnam yikore meis, avot pishu mefaches, v'hu hu also aninu ha-shiyakof mesneneh v'gam ha-fibus v'adilugah shel ofos. Yeah, b'feirish. Feirish. That's how it is. Again, I can't read you everything in Chacham Tzvi. I just want to read some of it. Oh. Why does it say Vayipach Baruch Nishmas Chaim? Because Ibn Ezra. Watch this. Look what Ibn Ezra says. Oh, he says, look what it says. Ki Rashi Diyek V'Kosav. The same as Rabbi Bleich said, Chacham Tzvi said hundreds of years before him. What did the Chacham Tzvi say? The Marma Belibo Yesh Lahavchinin Yesh Bochius Shinishmosel Dofek Hashem. That's what we saw before. Really, the life is in the heart. Umarma Chotmo. The Zin the Dein Chius Nika Belibo V'Nika V'Chotmo. Or Hiskim Rashi Zalat Vareinu. Shanashama Mishkana Belave. El Lefomim Af Shanashama Dain Toch Alev En Atfika Nikaris Belibo. What's love me for chutz? Alachaz mechaz rov chulsho. Valevu chovu itachas achazah. Ve'en atfika nirez me for chutz. Agabi achazah. Kevish atfika chalushim mifnim. Aval anashim ayotzim en alev. Derech hareya in ikeres. Kolot shalev chai. V'dov abor ma'od. She'en nashima alak she'esh chiyus b'lev. She'mimenu ulatsocho hi anashima. Kotz ben Ezra. Ibech ba'am adish maschayim. The time ba'apov. She'bohem yichya adam. Ki hem yotziu avir acham michom aleif v'yaviu acher ha'imavua shetam chius inyan ha'chaim tlu b'nishvus ha'chotem u'mishum shederach ha'chotem yotzi avir acham en aleif v'nichnas bo avir l'kar aleif. That's not quite up to mathematical science, but doesn't matter. The point is the same. V'mein leiv ein neshima. And he quotes the Kuzari. The Kuzari, Rav Yehuda Levi. What does he say? You need Ruach HaMtivi, has to be connected to the lave. Without the lave, the respiration won't have any effect, won't do anything. Okay, quotes the Kuzari again, etc., etc., etc. Sajigon, who was a Mufak B'Torah V'Chochma, he also says exactly the same thing. Okay, the breath is primarily to make sure for the lave. Okay, others he quotes the same thing, say the same thing as well. Okay. Rabbi writes the same from our Nevuchim. Leiv u'shem eva shevo ascholah sachayim shel kol ba'leiv. And he proves it. Look at this. Rabbi Shem l'kecha b'chol levavcha. Perusho etzli b'chol kochos libcha. Kloma kochos aguf kulam. Ki ascholah sachol men ha'leiv. Okay. I want to try to show you this main Rabbeinu B'chaya. I don't know if he quotes Rabbeinu B'chaya. If he had Rabbeinu B'chaya. Maybe later I'll show it to you. He writes as follows. Im yenuach ha-leiv keref ayin, yomus, v'yivat l'kot nuosov v'chol kochosov. U'kumo sh'achai honem hu b'tchai b'tnu az libo, af al pi, sh'bo eivorem nochim lo yagishu k'atzomos. Right? Kizeh ha-metzias kulu, v'yishchai, b'tnu az agaga, etc., etc., mus ha-leiv. It all depends upon the heart. See from the Rambam, it depends upon the heart. The Rambam was a doctor, Rabosai. He was a doctor. And that's what the Zohar says. Who's going to argue with this? Chas v'sholem. This is the truth. So writes the Heilige Chacham Tzvi. skipping a bit. Okay, let's leave it at this. Okay? He didn't go Rabbeinu Bachai. He was supposed to learn Chumash on Thursdays, and I was going to talk about something else, but the person we have to talk about is not here today. So I'll talk about it, you know, when he shows up. Okay, you can tell him. It's my name. Okay, I can't do things without personal last, it would be right. Where's Mefarshei Tanakh? Rabbeinu Bachaya, where?
Should be there.
Where's Rabbeinu Bachaya? Here it is, Rabbeinu Bachaya. On a very famous pasuk. You all said the pasuk today with great kavanah, I hope. I sure hope. Yahav te'es Hashem alokecha. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol meodecha. Everyone knows the pasuk. Why does it say b'chol levavcha? Halev mishkan ha-nefesh ha-chochma. L'fishu ha-eva ha-rishon b'yitzira ha-sa-odom. I don't know if that's true in today's embryology. Oh! 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 This is a beferish of Meneh Bechaya. Beferish. Death is when the heart stops to beat. So now, let us turn our attention to the only really two real tshuvas, classic tshuvas we have to see. What was this? The other one is the Chasam Sofer, to which we alluded earlier. Okay, that's our whole topic for today. Monday, we'll go back to the end of Rabbi Black's beautiful article, and then Rav Shecht, I'll show you. If you can get a hold of Bikvei Atzon over the Shabbos, read Simon Lamed Vav, it'll be very worthwhile. I don't know how to get it for you on here. I don't know if it's possible.
I got it. I made a copy of it for you want to show it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right not this minute, no, for Monday. How do you tend to do it?
They have it online on Otzer HaKavon, and then I just copied it first.
Very good. Yeah. Already. Unbelievable. Our technology here is, I won't say it's tops, but it's close. it's certainly much, the Talmidim certainly surpassed the Rebbe. That's 100%, by 1,000,000%. Baruch Hashem. So let's just see the Chasam Sof, and then we'll have to stop. Chasam Sof. See how many pages Chasam Sof is in his book. His book is helpful. Tell me how long it is, you know, for us to realize. That was 15 pages in the book, the Chacham Tzvi. The Chasam Sofer. One second. It's also 15 pages. It's the same length. Look what he writes. Amazing. Shalom v'chol tuv. Larav ha-ma'or ha-gola, ha-choretz ha-muflug, zayis ranan yofa pritor, kor shmo kvo morena of ploni, ha-bezn the cold ploni. Now wait a minute, this is a tata disaster. If somebody is a nobody, you don't give these titles. If it's a somebody, put his name in.
By the titles, you know it must be somebody.
But why did he put his name in? You know why? Because he argued with him so strongly. You know who it was? The Maratz Chayis.
Wow.
The Maratz Chayis.
Wow.
How do we know? Because the Maratz Chayis responded to the Chasam Sofer in his Darkei Horah. We don't have the Maratz Chayis to the Chasam Sofer. We only have the Tshuva. We have this response, which he never really argued with his basic proposition. But he has some interesting issues.
Amazing.
I don't know if we get Darkei Horah with Maratz Chayis on our. It's not that critical. But just
the
that's
Maratz Chayis is an Oitzer.
That's how we know who it is. Yikros v'giyani, v'navshe ayikorat b'sheloso. Okay. Whole discussion. When I read Mikoria Dvorim Elu Yotzim Mipigava Rabba the Chavasei, Omanati Marin Benivel Meod. Miuzeviezahu. It's only a week after Purim. Shehite b'dor shalafoneinu halonas mesim ulhatay lechachma Yisrael lo shamati v'lo reisi. Hinei pre-rum maloso or pe'erum maloso nitla bilangano b'tshuvas yavetz chelik beis v'zichrono v'zichrono kozev lo. Your imagination, your memory is failing you. Ki lo nimtza sham ach b'sifri ha'ma'asim v'sevim b'kura hitim nimtza igros mishnas taklav. Taklav is what year? 1772. The Chasam Sofer, when was he born? Around that time. I don't know exactly when he was born. It was around that time. The Chasam Sofer was Nifter in 1839. Okay? And he was Nifter, I believe, in his 70s. So 70 years before 1839 is what? Well, we're not so late. Is what? Is 1869. So yeah, he was under bar mitzvah apparently for himself. I don't know what year he was born. You look it up in his biography. Shachochem Ramad. Who's Ramad? I told you Ramad. Rabbi Moshe Dessau. Rabbi Bisich Flir Ramad Al Tishtuchu Yad. Ramad, he calls him a Chochem Mendelssohn. Torn lahat the Yisuin Shel Chachma Yisrael Barabah Ki Rofe Is Maneinu Amru Sheinoda Gvul Amagla Ben Chayin Lamavis. The Efshel of Be'ikul Abasa. For 3 days it starts to decompose. And he quoted a Mishnah and the Masechta Nida, Mitamanat Shisaka Labasa, the Rambam. Masechta Smachas, as we saw before. Mevakim ala Mason ad Gilyamim. Upamachat Chai Echach Achwechen Chafe Shonim. Hold it Bonim. And Kavachomer. Uma Mishim Kvodo Shomais, Malinu Havalar Matachwechim. Koshim Pipikuach Navsho. Because of Eos Chofer B'kuchin V'ya Efshel Lifta Litvok Al Kivro Abuzmaneinu Shekhovi B'oretz Mamish Al Korcha L'alino El Dvorov V'ychiluk Ben Kivro L'kuchin Hiska Aprisha V'shach Ach HaGoyen Rav Yavitz Rav Yaakov Emden Mochi Le'a Mochi Me'o Uchli B'yuchlo. He bashed him. Rav Tzvira Schais incorrectly thought that the Yavitz was allowed Halonas Ameis. No, he bashed him. V'lo nosa lo ponim v'gam igros merav hamatz t'shvarim yash ki heitev diva rava hu me'at lo yadati man sofin man choshev lehate chul medum lehol v'medinas kesa yorav hodo hurgulu lehatne mitam ha-melech ugedolot. Listen, the king makes it a law in his empire. Nishka chadavar asher chashvu l'din Torah. And if you don't do what you're over, I say, Velosa say, we know the Shia Misa. What was the Shia Misa? Look at the Chasam Sofer, he's so vague. Maybe it's a Misores Mibali Tivim Arishonim, Avish and Nishkach Mirofis Manenu, Valayim Sofer Chazal Barben Yonim Yonim Yatorakim Vubim, Perka Bekiva, Payim and Alf. Okay, one is that a tradition from the old doctors of yesteryear. Second, oh, im lo hoyalem mesoros metivim al kochok kibah Moshe ben olav shalom hashim ayalach leMoshe misina. A second possibility. Third, oh, she samchu atzman akro kol asher ruach chayim biyapo da kol tolim neshima saaf uchemavur biyuma peheim and aleph lepasuk rabbi b'shulchan aruch. This is where those claim that the Chasam Sofer accepted the definition of respiratory death based on this line. He said he quotes a pasuk. The Gemara quoted a pasuk. The truth is, and we have to be honest, according to Rashi, the Chacham Tzvi, and Rabbi Bleich, it's a bit schwer, I concede. Why is the Gemara quoting a pasuk? That's not the definition of death. That's only a confirmer of death. Death depends upon the heart. So you have to say, as the Chasam Sofer said over here, it's an asmachta. It's not a real drasha. Samchu akra. And since the confirmer of death is respiration, they had felt legitimate in using it as an asmachta. But that's not the real definition. That's what you have to say according to Black, which is not the best teretz in the world, but not his fault. He hangs out at the kapota of the Chacham Tzvi, who in turn hangs out at the kapota of Rashi HaKodesh. So we're hanging out to good kapotas over here, Abbas. I'm not sure if Leich has a kapota. But the other two probably had kapotas. Yeah?
The context is saving a life. And whether you go continue to dig, it's when you apply extreme. extraordinary measures, as it were.
You are mechaber to the Maariv Chaim. V'loman nafal apolus shani, as you said, kasher kosev yedidi nerayor Maariv Chaim. T'mir gadol be'enai v'chikra nishmas ruach chaim b'mapolus mairi. If it's only a asmachta, you could answer that way, but avol pikein, it's not the pashim shah. V'yod dav yadua behepech ki amesim misa pit omis sudden death yesh lachash yoser shen nidma kemes machas behola ukein chola shituk paralysis shekoren shlag. V'afilu hachik shepaskun nishmas of shuvein mechal and Shabbos v'achocha klala lachol amesim shezeu shirem akum biyodein ames oysa adas Hashem ligoy kodosh v'chol aruchol sheba'olam yim yimalu chafneim ruach lo yozizunim mimkom torah seinu ha'kadoshim. V'chein mashma Rambam ha'ma'am etzim yitzias nefesh sonim ha'am ha'komas ha'reizah shofech domin ele yishe ma'at shemen is aleph. After he stops breathing, I'll wait a little bit, maybe he fainted. V'nei ho'ya lo yodiyah emas yitzias ha'nefesh v'ezim shir gvul yesh lo ele kochach samachatza v'ashkotz perek v'ezim l'chol Shabbos. It's also the Maariv Chaim. The Mapolis. She bolkin ad shachotmo. V'shamnika yitzias ha'nefesh. V'alzeh kosav kan. She'acha ken yishema atzman. Muot. Shemen is aleph. V'yazmut olamitz ayin. That's the answer. What's man muot, Rabos? What's man muot? In Eretz Yisrael, 20 minutes. I think here too. The Chevra Kadisha. You start breathing for 20 minutes, they pronounce you dead. Till 20 minutes, maybe by some fluke you'll come back. I believe that's the Shia. But they use Chevra Kadisha, if I'm not mistaken. You look it up on your Chevra Kadisha websites. If they have any, they give out their secrets. I believe it's Shia too. Yep. I think. I don't know where they got 20 minutes from.
It depends who the guy on the spot is.
Okay.
If it's,
all right, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. Then they quote the Sefer HaMorah, the Morah Nevuchim. Okay? And talk about, again, they're afraid of, here we go. What did Rambam say? Look carefully. Hamisu misa mamish. Gamacholi achozak v'yomas liba b'kirbo. Huyo le'evin gaminovo. Pirish. Lo meis mamish. When it says that Novo's heart died, didn't it's a figure of speech. Figure of speech, he wasn't really dead. Ulezebir b'ben atzarfis. V'yicholi achozak ma'od. Ashlo knows to bone is Shama, Pirish. The Havik Sivayomas, Havi Avshaloma came Misa, like novel. Kamash Malan, lo knows to bone is Shama cloud, is dead as a dead. And it was Tria Samesa Melioan Avi. Shuvkosa Van Losim Omen, as we saw quoted earlier, Andalusians. This battle Nishimaso, Ashlo Huskal and Nishima cloud. Moshiyika the Tas called him the Holy Ashituk Shlag, who the Hechnik Arechem cramp, came from Svatsus, Achelo Yivode Muchayo Mace, the Yasmizem Misafik, Yoma Yomayim, woo! A day or two? You're not sure he stopped breathing permanently or not? That's unbelievable. Nil Rambam Yitua Mace, Holy Chazak, Mishamachi Hutsuak, Lavora Pesarfis, Achelo Nishibo Nishama, Nimsel Rambam, Evshe Ben Ashunamis, you know about that, you read about it in Aftorah, Elisha was Muchayo Mason. Right? Remember the after all that? What is it? Vayera, I think it is. Chayesora. Vayera, I think it's Vayera. We have Tchias HaMason. Lo Meis Mamish. He was... Wow. He's suggesting that Elisha did CPR. That's what he did. Read about it. Remember Osai. You paid attention to the after all in Parashat Vayera. I'm going to read it from the Chumash. Although it's very hard to imagine there was RCPR, because after all there was a long period of time between the time that the person stopped breathing and the time that what's going on here? What after?
When it's cold, what Elisha did was
warm
him also.
Hold on. I think it's a mistake in this version of the Chumash.
Uh-huh.
Parshas Vayera. We saw a typo today in Teferis Sro, so it can happen anyway. Parshas Vayera, it says over here. The Haftorah Vayera is on page 1134. Look in the back. 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1. It skips. Do you believe this? It skips from 1-1 to... five. Next page, 1175. 50 pages are missing. Look at the end. No. I can't read it after. Believe it. Sold for good money. Artsgrove. They're the best record. Missing 50 pages. So I can't read it to you. But if you remember, unbelievable. But if you remember, he put his head, it's like CPR. I put his mouth in his mouth, his nose in his nose. And right? And the suggestion over here is that he had never died. As opposed to the surface, they were totally dead. So the Efshelo Meis Mamish, and the surface Meis Ulandrosim, who behepech, Stam Misu Misu Mamish, only Novo. So according to Androsim, they both died. Except for Novo. Okay? Okay. As Ramban says, and the surface, etc. This is all the introduction of the Chasam Sofer over here. Whether it's Chiyas HaMeis or not Chiyas HaMeis. Fine. Abel Kol Sha'acha Shemutal. Look at this over here. It's so important. Acha Shemutal Ke'evan Domein. His first criterion is motionless. Like a rock. It doesn't move. Inanimate. Ve'ein Bo Shum Defikam. What's the word Defikam mean?
Heartbeat.
V'im Acha Kach Bokh Manashima. Ein lanu el divrei Torasenu hakadosh shu meis. You need three criteria: black on white, mechazan sofer. All three. Leolino also matami lo mukon loke achasra. Finished. That's as far as we can go. All three. All three. Okay. Very, very important. There were those who claim he never meant it really. He only meant neshima, as he said at the beginning. Ah, if you need neshima, why does he require eved domeim and defika? That's only confirmatory. The same suggestion you mentioned earlier, that the Steinberg had. It's really the neshima. And the other only confirmatory, that was suggested to refute the proof of the Chasam Sofer. A bit difficult. What did he say? First he's Eved Domein, now he's no Tfika, and Achakach Botla Neshim. Right? So we can understand very well that it's Fakert. The Botla Neshim is a confirmatory for the Tfika Salev. The other way around, it's very hard to read it. I'm reading it for the second time. Aval Kol She'acha Shemutla Eved Domein, Ein Lo Shem Tfika, Achakach Botla Neshim, Ein Lo No, he's dead. He's dead. So I would say it's the other way around. This is the main criterion. He doesn't move and there's no heartbeat. And afterwards, you want to confirm it with lack of breath. Because as Rashi and the Chacham Tzvi said, you meant missing the pulse. That's how I read the Chasam Sofer. At the beginning, he kept quoting, it's all dependent upon respiration. Yes, that's how we confirm to make sure there's no heartbeat. Because the heartbeat, as Rashi and the Chacham Tzvi said, is insufficient. Maybe you're missing something. This is the Heilige Chasam Sofer. In the book that I have, which is Kviyas Rega HaMavis, right? He has the Shuvas Chasam Sofer just before the Shuvas. Oh, it's not so long. It's only 10 pages. 10 pages. So I'm reading over here. I'm only in the third page. The third page.
You
it's
know,
clear as day.
When a person has got a bit of heart attack, often are gasping for air.
Right, it's true. Now watch this. Watch this. I Maseches Smachos that Mendelssohn quoted. Yeah. Watch this. Emes Yeradako, Kiza Mikra Bialma. Not 1 in 1,000 years. Sheyokum achfin nafla v'bitul nishmasol. Himsel the bekiim. Fil the miyuta de miyuta lo habi. Kvachoni amagel. He lived 70 years. He came back. That's not eino nichlus begeder chosh miyuta pikuch nevesh. That's it. Forget it. That's what he says. Now we understand very well. Kol mahara mahara harashchina. Isir halonas mesim b'mkom ha'omeid. Zulas, you can't help it. Mikpedes ha'melech yoram hodo. Umemela batlu kol dvara v'tumas ha'koyin ha'rofe cholila v'cholila. That's why I left his name out. He gives him such a over the head. Even though he called him a goyin, which he was, and a tzaddik, which he was, but he argued with him so strongly, he left his name out. It's a contradiction. A goyin, a tzaddik, no name. Now you know why. Now you know why. Okay? Then he has other things which have nothing to do with us whatsoever. Okay. Hold on. The rest of the tshuva. I don't see anything else which is relevant. Basically ends the tshuva over here. I will kasafti, Hashem Yerayin flows with Tarasa, same as Shkias. Afterward he said, the doctor, something or other. When did he sign his name? Kislev Tov Kuf Sadi Zion. 1836. I read the Chasam Sofer the way Rav Bleich reads the Chasam Sofer. Those others read it the opposite way. All depends on respiration, which is his first paragraph. I later on he says three things, black on white, we read it twice. That's only confirmatory. Habocha Yivcha Rabosai. We are out of time. We made a lot of progress today. We read most of Rabbi Black's article. We read the Chacham Tzvi and the Chasam Sofer. Those are the two classical sources. There are no other classical sources that I know about. We'll see a few. I shouldn't say there are none. Some to see. So Mitzvah Hashem on Monday, we'll try to finish Rabbi Black's article. We'll go to Rabbi Shechter's article, which we'll see. It says more or less the same thing, and we'll continue with other things which are very fascinating on this remarkable controversy. Okay, on Monday, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay.
Thank you.